we do have an interview with Tonya Jennings, and that was just to set the scene. Tonya's unlike Edith, absolutely. I've known her for years, and she talks about being in France and having to re-register, get a roadworthy on the barge, Pete.
I'm talking with IFPWA member Tonya Jennings, who's a Melbourne chef and writer. Tonya, you run a cooking school in Melbourne, another one up in Noosa. You must be pretty busy, but then you've also got a barge in France. And I gather you were back over there re-caulking the boards or doing what you have to do over there. Tell us about it.
Yes, we went back in August to the barge. It's a 100-year-old, 100-ton barge, so it's one of the old commercial barges that's been converted. And it needs, every 7 years, it needs to be re-registered. And the re-registering process requires it to be taken out of the water. And we keep the barge in a place called Toul, which is about half an hour from Nancy, which is in Lorraine in northeast France.
Right.
About 3 hours from Paris. Anyway, the closest place to there was about a four-day barge trip away in Germany.
So this is the roadworthy joint.
That's right.
Right.
Yes, the shipyard has to be big enough to take the boat out of the water,
right,
which is quite a procedure. It was very interesting. I hadn't seen it done before. And anyway, we had this lovely trip on the Moselle all the way from Toul up, going through north of France, and we were Trier, which is where the shipyard is. It's only about half an hour from Luxembourg.
Right.
So it was a lovely, lovely trip, and normally we take the barge on French canals, but this 3 weeks we were actually travelling on the river in the Moselle.
Is that a serious river, like the Rhine?
Yes, lots of commercial traffic and lots of hotel barges, big hotel barges that you see going down the Rhine.
Right.
So it's lovely. It's quite easy in a way travelling on a river because you've got lots of space, but the difficulty is the current sometimes and the traffic. And it's also not quite so easy to find moorings when you're on a river because the big barges tend to go very long days and they travel at night as well. So,
So can you tie it to a tree on the side or not?
No.
That's verboten.
There's 100 tons that could actually break the tree.
Oh.
And there's sometimes,
What about the language? Can you just gesture a lot? What about the language? You're in Germany now. I know you speak French, but
that is a problem because none of us speak German. And although the Germans are fabulous because they speak a lot of English.
Right.
But we did go to a few restaurants, one in particular where they spoke absolutely no English.
Oh.
Which is where we wanted to be. We wanted to eat some
local fare.
German food.
Yeah.
And so basically, the ordering of from the menu was very funny. We sort of had a bit of hit and miss, but it was delicious. It was very nice. But yes, it's been easy for me. I don't know how people travel when they don't speak the language. I mean, I speak some French, and it makes it easy in France.
I once went to a Greek restaurant in Germany and tried to order food. That was a challenge. They didn't like my Greek, and I didn't know their German. We were there for a conference. Anyway, they brought out octopus and all the stuff that we wanted in the end, so that was a bit of fun.
Well, I think you have to trust them, don't you? They're going to be serving some lovely food, and if it's something unexpected, well, then that's part of travelling.
So did you do any cooking while you were away over there, apart from the bacon and eggs for breakfast, Tonya? What did you sort of do anything flash with your culinary skills?
On the barge, we do cook. There's six of us.
Right.
And so we cook most nights, because often when you're travelling like we are, you can't always come across a restaurant. It's a little bit different down in the south of France where there's a lot on the Canal de Midi, for instance, and down in the Rhone and south of Burgundy, but where there are lots of restaurants. But in some of the places we are, there's not always restaurants nearby where we want to stop for the night.
Right.
And we cook a lot, and we cook the same sort of things as we cook here.
Right.
Except we do cook a lot of duck breasts, and we cook a lot of things that I don't cook much here, a rabbit. We cook a lot of rabbit dishes and a lot of pork. They eat a lot of pork over there, as you probably know.
Yes. So you don't have to line that little bunny up in your gun sights, do you? You're able to get one already prepared?
No, look, we did most of our shopping in France, and I took over this year because the fridge is large, but it doesn't, you know, for six people, you know, you can't get much past 10 days. And so I took over a cryovac machine, so we cryovac all our food, we cryovac the cheeses, which kept them seriously fresh for, you know, plenty of time while we were there, which was great.
Now you do lead tours over to Europe and I think North Africa recently,
yes.
Morocco. Do people come with you on the barge, or how does that all work? Talk to me about that.
No, unfortunately, they can't come on the barge. I would love them to, and I've worked on thinking about planning it and seeing what I could do for a long time, but there are lots of insurance issues. Michael has a partner in ownership of the barge.
Right.
And, you know, I think once you start having guests on board, it is a problem. But, and also, we accommodate 6 people, 8 at a pinch, and I've thought about doing it, but I think we would do that with land. People would live on the land and they would come on the barge for
a day trip or something.
And they'd come on the barge for the day trips and things like that.
So if people want to do that, how do they get in touch with you? If they would like to come on one of your tours, what can they website?
I'm doing one in Provence at the moment, the south of Provence, and over into Morocco to Marrakesh.
Yeah.
They can either call me on my mobile phone or look up the website. There's my email address on the website. The website is cookingonthebay.com.au.
Right.
And the Morocco trip and the Marrakesh trip, we go 5 days in Marrakesh approximately and then about 5 days into the desert, over quite close to the Algerian border. The desert's quite amazing. So we go and, travel on some camels into the desert and spend an overnight in a desert camp.
In a Bedouin camp or something?
Well, it's more like a Berber camp.
Right.
But the Berbers, I guess.
Different carpet.
Slightly different, that's right.
That's right. We're really high-tech here, Tonya. We're right on top of it.
But it is quite interesting because it's certainly off the beaten track and it's very much for the adventurous traveller. So for people that want a bit of adventure, you certainly do a bit of that. We go into the Atlas Mountains and spend some days there and it's really quite fascinating and the food is amazing and the people are lovely. And but to think that the Sahara Desert, Graham, travels, it goes all the way from Marrakesh, or just out of Marrakesh, all the way across the top of Africa, right into past Egypt.
Yeah, I've been in the desert in Dubai. I'm assuming it's the same desert.
I'm not quite sure whether that's still the Sahara, but it
beautiful
could be.
Colours at night. I mean, the pinks and the blues and everything. I just couldn't get over the colour.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? And the lovely orange of the sand against the blue sky.
Oh, it's magnificent. Well, we'll pop Tonya's details on our blog again, but it's cookingonthebay.com.au.
Is that right? And my name is Tonya, T-O-N-Y-A, so Tonya at Cooking on the Bay.
Okay, fantastic. Tonya, thanks for spending some more time with us, and we hope we'll talk to you again.
Oh, lovely, Graham. Nice to chat always. Thank you.
See you. Bye.